Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Allá en Guadalajara, Jalisco, México.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. There in Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico, in the congregation pastored by the Reverend José Villaseñor and all the brethren there. May God continue to bless you greatly and continue to use you powerfully in favor of God's people, in favor of the bride of the elect. And may He also use you in favor of the foolish virgins, sleeping virgins. And may He also use you in everything pertaining to this end time, in this third pool. May you be an instrument. May you continue being an instrument in the hands of the Lord. And also all the ministers and all the brethren. And may the Lord keep you strong, keep you healthy to continue working with us in this end time, in this beautiful work that God is carrying out. Happy Mother's Day. I congratulate all mothers again on this day on which it is celebrated. And it is a day in which the world celebrates that day. But all 365 days, as Brother Branham says in a portion there, we celebrate it. In other words, we thank God for that instrument which God used for us to come to this planet Earth. We always thank God for our mother and for our father. And I thank God for my mother, who God allowed her to live and to see with her eyes the fulfillment of what God promised. A blessed woman, let us search in our Bibles, in the Gospel according to Luke. In chapter 21, which was the scripture that our brother William read to us there, in this message which he titled, Preparing Ourselves for What is to Come, preached on October 25th, 2015, in Santiago of Chile, Chile, where that verse tells us, Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. There he writes on the side, in a new covenant, preparing ourselves for what is to come. You may please be seated. It tells us in the Book of the Seals, on page 288, in the last paragraph, it says, But now when He comes forth, the eagle age, that's the one that, three dots, God always likened His prophets to eagle. He calls Himself an eagle. Above he writes, 4, eagle. He was numbering them in the previous paragraphs. 1, lion. 2, ox. 3, man. That is where Brother Branham was numbering them there. Our Brother William went on writing, and in this paragraph, well, 4, eagle. He called himself an eagle. The eagle goes so high, there ain't nothing else can touch him. Not only is he up there, but he's built for that position. When he gets up there, he can see where he's at. Some people get up there and can't see where they're at. So it don't do no good to get up there. On the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. But you let a crow try to fly with an eagle or a hawk, either one, he would disintegrate. He's got to be pressurized for where he goes. There is a saying here which says, if you can't hold the pressure, that is, this final stretch is for the mighty. Either you take the pressure or you don't start doing things if you can't hold that pressure. Something like that. That term is something like that. That's the trouble today. Some of us don't get pressurized. We explode too quick, you see, when we're jumping. But we got to be pressurized. When you get up there and have the keen sight of the eagle to see what's coming and know what to do. Where? At the top. Where you go up, there you see what is coming. At the bottom, you could not see it, what would come. But once you are at the top, in the age of the cornerstone, above, in the top part, there you can see everything clearly. And it is known, you can know what is happening and what will come. In the message, the two olive trees in the dispensation of the kingdom, which was the introduction of that topic in the introduction. He gave it on that Friday, September 18th, 2015, in Villahermosa, Mexico. He says, in the age of the cornerstone is where the interlace and change from the dispensation of grace to the dispensation of the kingdom will take place. In the age of the cornerstone is where the dispensation of grace will close and the dispensation of the kingdom will open. Because it is an interlace, remember. Now, who makes that change? That messenger who comes to establish that new dispensation. There is when the door will be closed. But the wise virgins will already be inside with Christ, the bridegroom, who is promised to come to his church in the end time, in the greatest manifestation that has ever taken place in the midst of Christianity. In the Book of the Seals, he tells us on page 129, this is the first seal. He tells us, 129, it says, notice, this type, the reason they die out, they go through the purging of trial of the tribulation because they're not actually under the blood. They claim they are, but they are not. How can they go through a trial to purify them when the bleach blood of Jesus Christ takes every symptom of sin and stuff away from you, and you're already dead, and your life is hid in Him through God and sealed in there by the Holy Ghost. What are you going to be judged for? Where you're going to get your purification? What do you have to be purified from when you're perfectly in Christ, sinless? What's the judgment for? But it's the sleeping bunch. Now, in the book of the seals, also here on page 560, there he tells us about those three purposes of the sixth seal, where he tells us. Now we find out also in this that the sixth seal, now being open, it was for the threefold purpose. Now here was the purposes that the sleeping virgin had to go through the tribulation period for purification. She had to be purged of her sin of unbelief and rejecting the message. There he shows us the reason why. This she was done in the tribulation period. We see they wind up over here in Revelation 7, between the 6th and 7th chapter here, that she had been purged, and she had been given her robes. Now, she is not the bride, but it's the church, the pure people, and didn't have the opportunity, maybe, to receive the message, or in some way, that they were blinded by these false prophets, and they didn't get a chance. And yet, they're really sincere in heart, and God knows their heart. And here, they are purged during this time. Do you notice it? Another purging time, that's for Israel, when she gathers. That's the second fold. God purges Israel in the tribulation period. Out of the millions that gather there, there will be a selected 144,000, and they will be purged also. God is purging Israel. Notice, there is a whole earth is to be purged. There will be such a thing that the moon, star, and all nature will be purged. You see what it is? The earth is renewing herself, being purged, getting ready for the millennium. The millennium is coming. And see, everything that's got any filth in it is to be purged during the sixth seal. Now, what he's saying here, let us turn to 129. Now, they haven't done it for years, you see, but this is the hour of revelation, see, being revealed just at the coming of the bride. The last winding up, the last things are coming. It's coming to an end, friends, I believe. When? I don't know. I can't tell you. But I want to live tonight like it was tonight. I'd be ready. See? He might come tonight, yet. And he might not come for 20 years. I don't know when he'll come. But whenever it is, and my life might be over tonight, and then whatever I've done here, it's finished at that hour. I've got to meet him in the judgment, the way I went down here. The way that the tree leans, that's the way it falls. Remember, when they went to buy oil, oh, you say, now wait a minute, Brother Branham, I do not know about that. When they went to buy oil, when they come back, the bride was done gone, and the door was shut. And they knocked and said, let us in, let us in. But they were out in the outer darkness. Now, if you want a type of that, now look, in the time of Noah, Jesus said, refer to it. Now, in Noah's time, they went into the ark, but they were carried over during the time of judgment. But that didn't type Christ's bride. Enoch typed the bride. Enoch, Noah went over, though the bride went over, though the tribulation period, and suffered and become a drunk and died. But Enoch walked before God for 500 years and had a testimony he pleased God with rapturing faith. And just started walking right out and went up through the skies and went home without even tasting death. That is those chariots that also took Philip and took him to another place. God knows how to do it. He has done it so in other times, and he will do so at this time. Never died at all. That's the type of we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those same type of people that are asleep. Those same type of people that are asleep. There on the side going upwards, he writes on the left side, the rapturing faith, /Enoch, -the bride, /Noah, -144,000 Jews. The rapturing faith, Enoch, the bride, Noah, the 144,000. And on the right, there also in that paragraph, he also writes upward, rapturing faith. Shall not prevent or hinder those same type of people that are asleep, that fell asleep on account of human age, in the state of human age. They died back there, but they're not dead. They are sleeping. Amen. They are asleep, not dead. And the only thing is needs is the bridegroom to wake them. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 5, remember that writing he wrote there, that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and he writes, in flesh. There he shows us already how it will be. Yes, and we which are alive and remain shall not hinder those that are already fell asleep, for the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and will meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:15-16. And the rest of the dead live not 40,000 years. Revelation 20:5. Our brother William continues to say, the sample was given to us by Christ in his earthly ministry, also in the ministry of Peter and in the ministry of Paul and in the ministry of the Reverend William Branham. What we saw partially manifested in the Reverend William Branham on behalf of God was the sample of what God will do in the midst of his church in the age of the cornerstone, in the fulfillment of the third pool, in the fulfillment of a great tenth cathedral, where it was seen that the Holy Spirit, the angel of the covenant, the pillar of fire, moved to a little place, a wooden room, and was manifested there performing great wonders. Notice the five manifestations of the power of God, which was shown in part in the Reverend William Branham, which he told us, I have seen the powerful hand of God work on five occasions. In other words, outstanding ones, although there were many more of them, but five were outstanding, where he showed all the areas. Notice, the creation of the squirrels by the spoken word, that represents the revelation of God. In other words, everything that in this end time the people of God would be waiting for to receive the rapturing faith, that revelation will come into existence by the spoken word. And also, notice, the salvation of the sons of Sister Hattie Wright by the spoken word. In other words, that is power unto salvation. I give them to you. The word was spoken, and God gave them to her. Salvation for the relatives. Then, notice, also power by the spoken word to command a storm to stop. That is power over nature. By the spoken word, that storm that was coming ceased. So notice that is already adoption. And also, by the spoken word, from a distance, he spoke the word and said, before the doctor puts his hand there to operate to his wife of that tumor, let it be removed, let it disappear, and that's how it was, by the spoken word, healing. And also power, we have four. Notice, and power to resurrect a little fish that had been dead for half an hour. That little fish was brought to life. Now notice how, by the spoken word, an adopted child of God has power over all those things. Power to create, power to order or command, power for salvation, power for healing, power to resurrect everything. And that is because the title is in the midst of the church. That is why that will be possible. And things are already being possible in the midst of the church. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, therefore, we are very close to that full manifestation of God. And the Jews are very close to the promise of the coming of the two olive trees to the Hebrew people. The Reverend William Branham, on page 136 and 138 of the Book of Quotations, he says that the great miracles, the wonders, will be under Moses and Elijah, the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Under that time is when great miracles will take place. Remember that Moses even had control over nature. So did the prophet Elijah. And different prophets had a great manifestation through which, even through Joshua, the sun and the moon were made to stand still. In other words, that is creative power over creation. He tells us in the sixth seal, one part here, tells us of that whole mystery of that ministry, that whole mystery of that ministry, where he shows us there, page 416, the second to the last paragraph says, now we know that fire in the 19th chapter of the coming of Christ proceeds his sword from his mouth, which was the word. There he writes Moses and Elijah. Is that right? The word. Oh, if you get this material now for that seal tomorrow night. See, the sword is the thing that God slays his enemy by, see? Now look here. When these prophets are prophesying, if any man mistreat them, harms them, fire proceeds from their mouth. Holy Ghost fire, the word. The word is God. Word is fire. Word is the Spirit, see? Proceeds from their mouths. Look at Moses. Let's see what comes from his mouth. Egypt, they were mistreating these Jews. Moses, well, they wouldn't let them go. Pharaoh wouldn't. God put the word in Moses' mouth. There on the left he writes, God's mouth, Moses' mouth. See, it's God's thoughts going into Moses' heart. He goes over now to express it. Then it becomes the word. Stretch his hand forth, said, let there be flies. And here comes flies. Look here. And if any man hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemy. See, there it is. They can speak what they want to, and there it happens. Amen. And if any man hurt them, they must in this manner be killed. He writes on the side, Elijah and Moses have the spoken word. Brother, God writes on the scene here. They have power to shut the heavens, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Elijah, he knows how to do it. He done it before. Amen. Moses knows how to do it. He's done it before. That's the reason they was kept back. Now, amen. That is the ministries. I could say something awful good right here, but I better hold it until tomorrow night, see? All right. And have power over the waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with plagues as oft as they will. What is it? What can bring these things but the word? They can do nature any way they want to. And he writes, whatever they want to. And there are some writings. We have already spoken them, but let us continue. Here it is, and he writes Revelation 11:3 and on. They are the ones who bring on this sixth seal. They uncover and open it up. It's the power of God to interrupt nature. See, the sixth seal is completely an interruption of nature. And there he writes, Moses and Elijah opened the sixth seal. Nature, he also wrote that. Do you get it? There is your seal. Who does it? It's the prophets, the other side of the rapture. With the power of God, the word of God, they just condemn nature. They can send earthquake, turn the moon into blood, the sun can go down, or anything, at their command. Amen. Now, in the book of quotations, in this one, there is a place here referring to that excerpt. Which is in the book of quotations. So that you can put there, let us see here in the book, the big one here. Because on this one, it's on 192. But it should be on this one, 90 something. It's paragraph 829. In the booklet, in the book, that is, in the book of quotations, in this little one, of the first one that were published, is in 192. But beside that excerpt, which is 829, here he writes, Moses and Elijah equals Revelation 19. Notice, because the coming of the Lord, the seventh seal, is the coming of the Lord for the church. And the seventh trumpet is to the Hebrew people, which are Moses and Elijah. That is why it is the same thing. And here he writes, in this book, in this other book of quotations, the moon into blood, the sun come down, shut the heavens, the waters into blood. Notice all of what those ministries can do. The moon into blood. the sun to come down, shut the heavens, the waters into blood. In that paragraph 829. Here also, that is in this book, from which I am reading that writing, he wrote, Moses and Elijah equals Revelation 19. And here in the big book, down there, he also writes, Revelation 19 is Elijah and Moses. Now he continues saying here, in the book of the seals, where we stopped, there you are, page 417. There you are. See how the seals opened down there in the church age, how it shows the martyrs? And now here is these two prophets standing here with the word of God to do anything to nature they want to. And they shake the earth. And it's shown exactly who does it. It's Moses and Elijah. Because there is their ministry reimpersonated again. It's both men. Oh my, don't you see it now? See what the sixth seal is? Is those prophets. Now, notice, don't let it choke you. And there he writes, the sixth seal are two prophets, the ministries of Moses and Elijah being repeated. But watch, what opened the seals? Prophets, see? Woof. Amen, there you are. Oh, we're living in the eagle day, brother. Head up among the clouds. They opened the sixth seal, they have power to do it. That is, they have the title deed. Now, our brother William continues to say here, in the message we are reading, that is what is promised that will take place at the last day under the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Those are the two olive trees that stand before the presence of God. Those were the ministries that James and John wanted when they went with their mother before Jesus to ask him that in the kingdom of the Lord, one would sit on his right and the other on his left, because they saw those ministries of Moses and Elijah on Mount Transfiguration. That is why on one occasion later on, when they went with Jesus and the other apostles, and they wanted to enter into Samaria, the people of Samaria didn't allow Jesus and his disciples to enter. And James and John, who were brothers, said to the Lord, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven like Elijah did? At least they asked Jesus. Otherwise, they might have gone there and caused a scene, because they didn't have those ministries. In other words, that wasn't going to happen. But they were going to end up making Jesus look ridiculous. In other words, they were going to do something that it wasn't to glorify God. Because that has its time, its moment. See, they were seeking the ministries of Moses and Elijah for that time. They wanted an important position in the kingdom of God. But Christ said to them, it's not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Matthew 20:23. In the message, the invisible union of the bride of Christ, tells us on page 41 to 42, it says, it shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit from on high. The former and latter rain shall come together in the last day. He writes, the Holy Spirit coming. All these promises through the scriptures been given. We're looking upward. Watch at the bride across the nation this hour looking up. Church, he is coming one of these days. Just as sure as he come the first time, he is coming again. Get everything ready. Separate yourself from shock. Lay before the sun. Keep looking up. Be under expectation. And he writes, the coming of the Lord. And on the right he draws a cornerstone and the ages. All at once, we heard something from the top, the hill. a voice come down through the loudspeaker said, "All things are ready." Then this man, standing right there by the side of me, said, "Let the fire fall." Here it comes, pouring down across that mountain, a glacier of fire and blazes, a licking, a sight to behold. And above he writes, "The falling of the fire equals the coming of the Lord." Here it comes, pouring down across that mountain, a glacier of fire and blazes, a licking, a sight to behold. Brother, let's get all things ready, for one of these days the fire is going to fall. We're going up. Now let's get ready for the fire falling time. We're in the last days. We all know that. And we're ready for the coming of the Lord. The thing to do is separate yourself from all sin. Separate yourself from anything that pertains to the world. Do not love the world or the things of the world. Let no man by his creed deceive you. By his creed. You stay right straight in the promise of God, the Word of God. And that Word, if it's a word for this day, God vindicates it so. If He doesn't, it's not the word for this day. There He writes, God vindicates the word for the age. The one of the day of Pentecost doesn't work today. The word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work this day. No, sir. That was for Pentecost. This is for the bride, going home of the bride. We got something different. The Pentecostal represented that again. We're in the bride age. No more than the word of Noah would work in the days of Moses. No more than Moses' law would have worked in the time of Paul here. He tried to tell them, "You are dead to that, and you cannot have that." Now notice when he says there that we are in the bride age. In other words, anyone might read that and say, "Well, Brother Branham is saying that back then they were in the part when the bride, that part pertaining to the age of the cornerstone, was being fulfilled in his time." See, you can't take that and give it your own interpretation, because you will be all mixed up. See? Church, you who I'm speaking to tonight across the nation, if you've separated yourself from denomination and all the filth and things of this world, and all those things that keeps you in man-made creeds and orders and things like that, you separate yourself, look up. That is, separate yourself and look up at the things above. Look where? Look up. Get ready. The fire is going to fall one of these days. God is going to let him come. And he writes, Moses and Elijah. God is going to let him come. And a sight to behold. Would you be ready when he comes? That is why he says in Matthew 16, is it? Or look, when the Son of Man comes, look, it should be look, shall he find faith on the earth? Because notice, that is what he is showing us here. That we should be prepared for that moment. Luke 18, verse Verse 6 and on. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, notice, he says, would you be ready to go up with him when he comes? And there he writes Moses and Elijah. The secret rapture of the supernatural bride shall be made from mortal to immortality, be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, our brother William continues to say here, therefore, those ministries are ordained for someone. At the end time, someone will have that blessing, and therefore, the greatest responsibility before God in the divine program. That is why Revelation 11 will have fulfillment at this end time. If we read the previous passage of Revelation 10, where the mighty angel who comes down from heaven, who is Christ, the angel of the covenant, with the little book open in his hand, the Lamb's book of life, the book, the title deed of heavens and earth, which contains the name of all those who will live eternally. That book, which is the title deed that Adam had, but lost the privilege to have it, and God took it, and have had it in his right hand for thousands of years, but it will return to the human race at this end time. And on page 85 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 729, it says, but John wept. Here is what I think he wept for. Because if no one was worthy and could open this book of redemption, the whole creation was lost. And there on the right he draws a Star of David. That's God's own law. And he can't defile his law. Can't defy his law, rather. And above he writes, John wept because all of the creation would be lost if the book was not open. John wept because all the creation would be lost if the book was not open. And below that paragraph, he writes, the law of God. John wept for everything. Notice, when Lazarus resurrected, the Lord resurrected him. They could say to Lazarus, Lazarus, Jesus wept for you. Now, notice, our brother William goes on to say, that is why Christ, when he finishes his work of intercession in heaven, leaves the throne of intercession. He goes before the throne and takes the title deed, the book sealed with seven seals, and opens it in heaven, and then he brings it to earth and gives it to a man, to John the Apostle, a type and figure of the final messenger who will be on earth in the midst of the mystical body of Christ, whom Christ, the mighty angel who comes down from heaven, one he has taken the title deed, will bring it to earth, will bring it to his church, giving it to the instrument he has in his church, so that he eats it and then prophesies before many people, nations, tongues, and kings. Notice that that could not be carried out before. because they were still elect of God to be cleansed with the blood of Christ. While he was there making intercession in heaven, he could not leave that place until the last name was cast into the bleach. And therefore, the title deed had not been taken yet and had not been handed on earth yet to a man, to the instrument, to the messenger that he would have at that time on earth, which he told us. Soon the dispensation of grace, that door will be closed so that Christ comes forth from the throne of intercession, takes the title deed and brings it to earth. 2018. In these days, we read that portion where he alerted us and told us that before that door is closed, to seek and take the message so that the last one comes in. And then in Revelation 11, he's already prophesying the things that will come upon the planet Earth, upon many people, tribes, nations, and tongues. In other words, Revelation 11, the two olive trees, is the one who eats the open book. And then he has to prophesy according to what it is written in that little open book that he has eaten. In the message, Revelation chapter 5, second part, on page 18, the Reverend William Branham tells us, page 18, on paragraph 99, when the work is finished, we have all things again. What kind of all things? We have all power. We have eternal life. We have eternal health. We have eternal youth. We have eternal power. Oh, we're just eternal with eternal. And then, we're all waiting for that time to come, waiting and groaning, waiting. On page 100, notice in the Book of the Seals, in the last paragraphs, no matter he falls asleep in the first watch, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh, wherever he falls asleep, while happen, the trumpet of God shall sound. That last trump will blast forth, the same time that the last angel is giving his message, and the last seal is opened. And he writes there, seventh seal. And he puts Leviticus 25:8-13. The last trumpet will sound. The last trumpet will sound, and the Redeemer comes forth to take his redeemed possession, his church blood washed. Now, notice here, and he continues to say, now, oh, the whole creation lays in his hands now, on which the whole plan of redemption is sealed by seven mysterious seals in this book that he took. Now watch, and he alone can reveal it to whomsoever he will. And he writes the book. He's got it in his hand, see? Now, he promised it would be at that time now, for it is sealed by seven seals of mystery, the book redemption. Now, our brother Branham continues to say here in the other message we are reading, and this sevenfold book of seven redemption plans has been brought to us, and that's what this book holds. Now, we're going to get over in the 10th chapter where this mighty angel proclaims something that, and on mighty angel he writes Moses and Elijah. That is Revelation 10. He wrote that on the left side, Revelation 10. And there he writes, Moses and Elijah. This mighty angel proclaimed something, and he had a little book that John, and he writes the bride, had to eat. And when he did, he got it into his belly, and it was bitter. But in his lips, it was sweet. When you have to digest it, then it gets bitter. Everybody is against you. Everybody telling you, you're a holy roller. You're this, that, or the other. See? You're off your head. So it's hard to digest it. But when you're testifying of His glory, it's sweet in your lips. And he writes, sweet. That's all. See? And when you stand up in a meeting, you say, glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, when you're getting through that great siege, it's hard. There he writes, bitter. But then when you're out of that great siege, you can testify of it. Then it's sweet in your lips. See? That's right. That's this book of redemption. Now, he continues saying here, in this other message, the work of the Messiah in His coming. Christ in hell and then in Abraham's bosom. Preached on Saturday, April 2nd, 2010, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. He says, the mercy of God for the last time will be where? In the ministry of the 50 Elijah. As simple as that. Just a paragraph before, he was speaking about, let us go one paragraph back. In the book of the seals, on page 164 and 166 to 167, then 488, then 479, and then 440 to 441, he says that the world rejected mercy for the last time. And he talks about the two olive trees. The mercy of God for the last time, where will it be? In the ministry of the 50 Elijah. As simple as that. Therefore, three dots. Because in the 10th vision, they were preaching. There was still opportunity there to receive Christ. Something was happening there. Now remember that we've heard and read where Brother William and Brother Branham told us that since the third pull is for the bride and for the foolish, notice, and for the lost, and for the Hebrew people. When it's open for the world, well, the Hebrew people is included there. They have the opportunity, but to receive strength, notice, to go through the great tribulation. In other words, something is moving there because the opportunity was given, but no longer for transformation. And our brother William says, something was happening there. I told you 469, but it's 440 to 441, and the other one is 478. And he is quoting there. Now he's going to read, which is 424 or 440. You can have it open, because it's the one that Brother William reads to us here. And he makes comments. In other words, he speaks, he says. And Israel's remnant is sealed and ready to go. Page 424 or 441. and the nature lets go. Oh, what a time! Notice the last verse of the sixth seal opened. Those who had laughed at the preaching of the word, of the vindicated word of the living God. That is Revelation 6, verse 12, 1 to 6. When then prophet had stood there and performed miracles, closed the sun and everything else, and all down through the age, see, they cried for the rocks and the mountains to hide them. See, to hide them from the word that they had mocked or had laughed at, because they see him come. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. He is the word, see? They had laughed at the word, and here the word was incarnate. In other words, the word, the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit. Remember that on page 161, it says that the Holy Spirit will be incarnate. And on page 176, also in the book of the seals, and page 421 of the book of the seals, and here the word was incarnate, he says, laughed at them, made fun of them. They mocked them. And the incarnate word had dropped forth. Why didn't they repent? They couldn't. It was too far then. And Brother William says, now, notice that first they have mocked those ministries. And then comes the time when there is no more opportunity. In other words, notice that the warning comes. And first comes the mocking. Let them mock. First they mock, and then later they are told that there is no longer an opportunity. Haven't you noticed the picture today? The same thing. And then comes the time when there is no more opportunity. Under the ministry of the two olive trees in the midst of Christianity, the time is going to end, where the scripture says, time shall be no more. The time of redemption, the time in which Christ has been as high priest interceding, when he leaves the place of intercession, the time is over. In this message, Revelation chapter 5, second part, tells us on page 35, it says, the seventh and last one of these seals, when they are open, it's found in Revelation the 10th chapter, there was a mighty angel, which was Christ, come down and put one foot on the land and one on the sea, and raised up his hand and says, the day is finished. And he writes, second dispensation. Time is run out. It's all over. And he writes, the seven ages, the time of the Gentiles. Time shall be no more. And he writes Revelation 10. Now, to speak, Brother Branham says that the thunders are not spoken in heaven, but on earth. And if this angel of Revelation 10 is saying that time will be no more, then he must have a mouth on earth, which has said that he has already left the throne of intercession, that the door of the dispensation of grace is closed, and that everything pertaining to the dispensation of grace should cease to be done. There must have been a voice that has spoken that, and you can already identify in whom those ministries are, because he is the only messenger. Since that door of the dispensation of grace was opened on the day of Pentecost, he is the only messenger who has said that the dispensation of grace is closed, and that the dispensation of the kingdom is fully opened. And he said, at the sounding, and at this time, the mystery of God should be finished. Who God is and how He was made manifest. How when that seal was opened. How we begin to understand now how that He was the Son of God. He was God Himself made flesh. And the revelation of who He is. That should be finished before this angel can put his feet upon the land and sea and swear that there'll be time no more. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes Revelation 10:1-11. When this time comes, then he writes most holy place. When this time comes, we're in the front yard, and he writes holy place. We're right in that front yard of it right now. And on the left he draws Star of David, and he writes, time shall be no more. The last one of them is Revelation 10. Foot on land and on sea. Time has run out. Redemption is over. And now he comes in as a lion. He was a lamb then. Now he comes in as lion of the tribe of Judah. And he writes, he comes as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, let me just read the rest of this so I can get it to you right quick now. And the 8th verse. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors and prayers of the saints. Now, this is the time when everything must be worshipped. Now, remember how appropriate. Now, don't let us miss this now. Listen close. When all the mysteries of the church age was finished, when all the mysteries of the plans of redemption, them 7 seals was opened at 3 dots, right immediately after this now, look, it's time for all, everything in heaven and everything on earth, to worship God. Now watch what takes place. Listen at. Just listen at this just a minute. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy. Listen what a worship this was. The elders, the beast, everything fell right before him. See? Like that. When he made his complete plan. It's time of worship now. See? And they sang a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. And thou hast made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Listen, the redeemed souls crying out there, And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels around about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. Everything in heaven is worshiping this Lamb, see? Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And he numbers them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Listen. And every creature, listen at what John did. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that is in them, heard I John saying, Blessing, honor, glory, power be unto him that sat upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. John must have really had a Pentecost of his own. And he writes, Year of Jubilee. He said, every creature in heaven, every creature in the earth, every creature beneath the earth, every creature was in the sea, heard me saying, Amen, glory, honor, power, and blessing be to him that sit upon the throne, that Lamb. Time of worship. And he writes, time of worship. Amen. How did they do it? Here is his word, you. They all heard it. And the 4 beasts said, Amen. You're right, John. Just shout and praise him as loud as you can. Remember that John represents the church and the final messenger. heard me saying, blessing, amen, glory, wisdom, power, and might. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and forever. What a beautiful story. Now, I don't have time. I got it written, some context on it here. But our next meeting, before we can get into this, maybe when I come off my vacation or some other time, I want to get these 70 weeks of Daniel and tie it right in here and show it where it takes it to the Pentecostal Jubilee. And he writes, year 50, Leviticus 25:8, year 50, and brings it right back with those seven, them seven seals to open here just before we go and show that it's at the end. We're going to continue here a little more to reach somewhere there. It says, the Lamb, the Messiah, the Prince should come and should be for 70 weeks. That is 7 years that was prophesied to his people. And the Prince would be cut off in the midst. That is 3.5. The half of 7 is 3.5. Would be cut off. And the daily sacrifice would be done away with. And the abomination that maketh desolation. And there he writes, the Mosque of Omar, which is the Muslim of Omar, stood on the temple grounds the day when they burnt the temple. And then there is 3.5 years yet left to the Israel. And he writes, 3.5 years. And Christ came and preached and prophesied just exactly 3.5 years. And the daily sacrifice was taken away. Everything just as perfect as it could be. And the Muslim of Omar was right, built on the same grounds, and stand there to this day. And they will tread down the walls of Jerusalem until the Gentile dispensation will be finished. The church is taken up, they elect the bride, out of there. And the two prophets, Elijah and Moses, turn to Israel for them other three and a half years. It's the most beautiful thing when you see it brought out. And he writes Revelation 11, and he draws a Star of David. You love him with all your heart? You understand now what the seventh seal book was? What it is? We got it in a scroll now. And just remember, just in these last days, it was kept in an earthly vessel. And there he writes, the earthly vessel equals Jesus Christ. You understand that now? And who was that earthly vessel? Jesus Christ. No man had it. Nobody had it. It's only through him. It wasn't even written in the Word. If it was written in the Word, it was hid so that you couldn't even find it. That's right. So, it's in him that it's revealed. And in that earthly vessel, so it wouldn't rot or rust. And on the side he writes, earthly vessel. Now notice what he said. No one knows the Father but the Son, and no one knows the Son but the Father, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. That is how it was in his first coming, and that is how it is in his second coming. All of that is contained in that earthly vessel. Now, our brother William continues to say here in this message, the time of redemption, the time for each person written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life to receive redemption, that time then ends, and things change in heaven and will change on earth. In other words, when he finishes carrying out that work of intercession, in heaven, he, Christ, changes from high priest to judge and king of all the earth, king of kings and lord of lords. And there he continues reading from page 441. Our brother William continues to read. Why didn't they repent? They couldn't. It was too far then. So they know that the punishment, they heard it. They had sat in meetings like this and knowed about it. and they know that the things of those prophets had predicted. And Brother William says, see, he doesn't say that he, Brother Branham, had predicted, but what these prophets, the two olive trees, had predicted. Why? Because here in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 to 7 says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach it unto them that dwell on earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. Who comes preaching, announcing judgment? Who is it? That messenger who was reflected in the fifth messenger of the fifth church age. And worship Him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of waters. Remember that each messenger reflected what God is going to do with the ministry of the last day. He says, and he goes on to say, he goes back to the book of the seals. And they know that the things of those prophets had predicted was looking them right in the face, that the thing that they had rejected, they had spurned mercy for the last time. And when you spurn mercy, there is nothing left but judgment. When you spurn mercy, just think of it. And there they was. They had no place to go, no retreat. And the Bible said here, they called for they cried to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us, and hide us from the face of the one sitting on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. They tried to repent, but the Lamb had come to claim His own, see? And they cried to the rocks and the mountains, prayed, but prayers were too late. Now, notice in the book of quotations, on page 90, paragraph 775, it says, we want to receive rapturing grace. We want to be able, when that mysterious thunder thunders out yonder and the church is taken up, we want to be ready to receive it, Lord. And above he writes, the thunders and rapturing grace. And on the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Now notice that that is what he spoke to us on page 148. In other words, the previous seal. He told us, O my seven thunders of Revelation, may He show the bride how to prepare for the great translation, faith. And he writes on the side, downward, rapturing faith. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And above the paragraph, he writes, the thunders. And on page 136, he tells us, but think now, he wrote this, but when he started to write those others, seven thunders, he said, don't write it. He had been commissioned to write everything he seen, but when these seven thunders over in Revelation 10 uttered, he said, don't write them at all. They are mysteries, we don't know what they are yet, but my opinion, they'll be revealed right away, and when you do, you'll give faith for that rapturing grace, for that church to move out. And above that paragraph, he writes, the thunders, the faith for the rapture. We've just moved through everything that we know of, through all dispensations. We watch everything. We've seen the mysteries of God. We've seen the appearing of the great gathering together of the bride in the last days. But yet, there is something in there that we just can't lighten ourselves with. There is something other. And thanks to God that we have been able to get there. In the time of Brother Branham, they couldn't get there. Today we can say, I arrived. I got there. But I imagine when the mysteries begin to come forth, that is when that revelation comes, God said, hold it back now. Wait a minute. I'll reveal it in that day. Don't write it at all, John, because they'll stagger over it. Just let it go. See? But I'll reveal it in that day. And he writes, 8 days. When it has need to be done. That is why it's today. Because we need the need to leave this place before the divine judgments fall. There is a part, I brought the message. Perfect strength by perfect weakness. But I don't know if it's there. Brother William, in that message, later on he says that there is a place. He thinks it's there. He didn't quote it there, but where he says, it is not hard to ask for that. I was looking through the pages to see if I could find it. See if you can find it. I brought the booklet just in case. It is not hard to ask for it, because it is a promise. Therefore, no matter how hard it looks, it is not hard, because nothing is too hard for God. They never uttered for nothing. Remember, like the little drop of ink. Everything is for a purpose. Everything is for a cause. But notice, the Creator uttered, and he heard this voice, and he went to see. But now the Lamb is showing John in a symbol of a church scripture, like, for the church to know. What to write, he just showed him. Said, now, don't tell this, just what it is. Don't go down, John, and say, now, this is just what this is, of what's under this seventh seal. Don't go down and tell that. For if I tell John that, then all down through the age, the whole plan will be broke. It's a secret. Notice, each messenger was a faithful and wise servant. He did not speak what he did not have to speak, because otherwise he would ruin. Notice, the whole plan. There was a messenger, which Brother Branham spoke, and then Brother William quoted him, who said something about the Hebrews. I'm not sure if it is in the Book of the Ages. Now that is then something that the messenger will be accountable for that before God. But notice that each messenger spoke what corresponded to his age. And he did not speak something that could affect that plan of redemption. That is why you see that he also said, when he was in our midst, bringing all those blessings, those revelations, those good tidings, those news, when our brother and friend was in the midst of the people, who we will see soon. He said, let's leave that alone there. I will not speak about this. This will be in the tent. And he also said, he had been invited to preach there. And all those things. And he said that in the tent, that whole mystery would be spoken and opened. Let's leave that for the tent. Notice, it was the Holy Spirit speaking through him. It was not the time to open all those mysteries, but rather it was for this time in which we are living. It's a secret, see? He just wants his coming, he said now. And nobody is going to know when I'm coming. I'm just coming, see? See? That's all. It ain't for my business to know when. I'll just be ready. You see? See today's subject, preparing ourselves for what is to come. Let us see, there is one here. They found one of the indictments. That one speaks about salvation. But let us see if there's one here. In that message, he tells us there, in a little part, we can find it later on. I was looking for it, but Brother Miguel was about to introduce me. But notice that here in this message, Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness, on these last pages, he tells us, page 46, we don't need a new organization. What we need is a prophet of God to rise up with a thunderbolt of God. Spiritual lightning, thou shake this world to shame. Hallelujah. Empty vessels is what he needs. That's right. A called out church, a little minority, thou receive God's power and blessings and his message. There he writes, a prophet with a thunderbolt. Hallelujah, that's what we need. Go weak so you can get strong. He'll conquer every devil. He'll put the learned to shame. He'll bring men and women who God has called, and that only. Remember, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And he writes, with Elijah and Moses, 8 souls was saved. And on the left he also writes, Moses and Elijah, Revelation 11. In the days of Elijah, there was 7,000 only had it. Oh, just think of where we're living now. When John came on the scene, the little church was certainly in minority, but there was empty vessels to pour the oil in. Hallelujah. God, let us empty ourselves up. Get empty, friends. Get weak. Deny your own ability. I counted. How did Paul say it there? That I counted it. What he learned, I counted it as rubbish, as a dung, he says. That is, there he spoke to us where is that part? Let us turn to Philippians. Chapter 3. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. and you out. I'm continuing in perfect strength by perfect weakness, and you out that hear this tape, wherever they come, empty yourself out. Pour yourself out upon God's altar as a sacrifice. Let the angel, and he writes Revelation 10:1-6, and let the angel come with a coal of fire. Fill that vessel with the power of Almighty God. Then he'll make you strong. He'll give you grace to stand. And we read there that he says, God, help us to find rapturing grace. Now, we are required to be prepared already. Luther was the one who spoke that part about the Jews. Now, that is already a matter between him and God, because a prophet cannot be judged, and that is he and God. Now there, I'm not sure if we had already finished that part there, where we read from page 136 that, and nobody is going to know when I'm coming, I'm just coming. See, that's all. That ain't for my business to know when. I'll just be ready, you see. May God help us at this time in which we live to continue preparing ourselves to receive all those promises and to continue standing before the Son of Man. To continue receiving that rapturing faith at this time, which is what we are receiving today. How is it that now we can speak so clearly, to speak as we always say in Puerto Rican terms, in rice and beans, and in avocado, so that you understand better? And if you place a little piece of meat next to it, well, it's even clearer then. See? We already know that we are talking about a good plate of food, because we already know what that is and how good it tastes. So we are speaking clear things and how good this rapturing faith tastes, how sweet it is in our mouth when we speak it. But we know that there is bitterness when we are in those situations. But when we speak the word and we place that word right, then it's sweet. Preparing ourselves for what is to come. Let us stand. And thus, we are preparing ourselves to receive everything that God also gives us through this subject. Notice, while notice, it's the message of the indictment. They found the indictment. I pray that you will save everyone, Lord. May there come forth a revival of the just and a great power come among the church just before it's going. It's not hard to pray that. because you promised it. And we're looking, Lord, for that third pool that we know that will do great things for us in our midst. See? In other words, it's not hard to ask for that because He promised it. And the thing is that we have believed it because we have been placed in this time to receive the fulfillment of those promises. He promised it, and we believe it. The time will come when it will then be too not hard, because God is and will always be with us. But when everything is already deep enough into that denominational group, so many people will come then, that by that time, for us, well, that mystery of the seventh seal must already be completely open. And also, the smallest particle, he says, so that when you put yourself under the microscope and divine eye, it looks so clear. He says that there is no particle of sin. Give me a church. Says the Lord through our brother Branham. I think we can sing a praise. This week I was playing a praise in a chat. And I was just telling Guillermo, oh, he was the one who wrote to me first. He tells me, look, the one that you played there to sing it, that you sang by our brother William Romero, was the one that we were rehearsing, or that Sister Sharon is rehearsing. And I don't know if it was because she was going to sing it today. And I got ahead of her and we sang it in the chat. And she was already rehearsing it. But if you have it ready, let's sing that hymn. And in that way, you can have your participation that I took from you during the week. And she had it ready to sing it. So, you are my Lord. And with this hymn, we prepare ourselves to receive the message that we will be hearing and seeing on this occasion. You are my Lord. You are my God, my King, the Master of my being, omnipotent and faithful. Take what I am. Take all of me and do your will for your glory. My soul, spirit, and body I dedicate to you, only to you. And now I rest in your everlasting arms. I feel secure in you. Wherever you lead me, I will follow you. Wherever You take me, I'll be there. And whatever you tell me, that's what I'll do. Serving you is my life, O God. Let me reach the end. My soul, spirit, and body, I dedicate to you alone. And now I rest in your everlasting arm. I feel secure in you. Wherever you lead me, I will follow you. Wherever you take me, I'll be there. And whatever you tell me, that's what I'll do. Serving you is my life, O God. Let me reach to the end. To the end, yes, Lord. To the end. To the end. Omnipotent and faithful. Amen. Help me reach the end. Wherever you lead me, there I will go. Look, I was about to put down my Bible over here, as it to start again. Well, preparing ourselves for what is to come. Because there is so much to read and search and study that the environment is always beautiful. And when we praise God, everything is also getting prepared. And something has been moving. And we have been going into something since some time ago. And that something keeps coming in such a simple way. And by the time we realize it, we are doing those greater things that Jesus said that he would do, that people would do. Greater things they would do. We are approaching a glorious time. A time where there will be no limitations. You remain steadfast, because at the end you will say, it was worth it. The afflictions were worth it. The endurings to so many things that we went through, it was worth persevering, because we have been told, he who perseveres to the end. In other words, getting there isn't a matter of coming a little close. No, it is about continuing to persevere. God will not let us down. You will see. Preparing ourselves for what is to come. Remember that then comes and will be the vindication. First, the word being spoken, being revealed. Then, it will be the vindication. First comes the revelation and then the physical miracles. There will be the vindication that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel was, is, and will always be with his people. He has not left us nor forsaken us. He is present now. I am he that speaks, it says. Behold, in that day I will be present. Why? Because the name of God is there. And wherever he is, well, the name must be there. That is why the Hebrew people will see him, recognize him, and say, this is him. Preparing ourselves for what is to come. Pray much this week because we are expecting great things from God. May God bless you and keep you all. And let us thus leave in this subject, preparing ourselves for what is to come, our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.